So I'd like to talk about group efforts. What can we expect from them? Are group efforts doomed to failure? Do we have an infiltrator problem? Talking about specific problems of this nature tends to involve making accusations. That's not really productive. Accusations like this are essentially unprovable. The approach I'm going to take is to point out a few things, a few considerations, that you might not have thought of. First of all, there is definitely a conspiracy, or master plan, to undermine group efforts. The biggest factor behind all of this is the way TIs are scattered all over the country. That's clearly by design, and it has several negative effects. You know how the gang stalking seems to recede when you chase after it? Well, think about how it works when you have multiple TIs right next to each other. Now you've got witnesses who are onto the tactics and can explain things away so you stop jumping at your own shadow. The whole thing looks very different when you have multiple people around who understand this game. With several TIs in the same general area, ideally at least one who's wise to the mind control aspect, the gang stalking recedes, you get recovery from the psychological trauma, you start recovering from the brainwashing. We can't have that. They don't really seem to know how to group terrorize people using these tactics. That's not part of their program. But when you're networking via phone calls and the internet, it gets a lot easier to spread disinformation to keep the brainwashing or terrorism going, or even make it more powerful. Like, in a survey I've been running, I've learned a significant fraction of TIs decided they were being attacked with directed energy weapons, not on the basis of physical evidence, but based on the testimony of other TIs. Think about that. Words are very misleading. You can slap labels on various aspects of targeting, but those labels are very subjective, and different people will assign different meanings to them. You have to dig deep to find out what people really mean, what they're really talking about. Sometimes TIs will have holes in their stories. You know, when they're explaining stuff based on their theories about what's happening, and those theories are wrong, so there are obvious flaws in the story. To save face, they make up details. If you take everything you hear on TI websites or TI conference calls at face value, you can wind up with some really inaccurate beliefs. There's also this tendency to blame literally everything on them. Stubbed your toe? Gang stalking. Pin-up by a jar? Tough to open up? Directed energy weapons. Missing a sock? Gaslighting. So a newly aware TI, he's been exposed to some pretty crazy stuff, and that TI is very suggestible. He doesn't have anyone he can turn to in person. He just ends up swallowing the lies on the conference calls whole. These lies include snippets taken from the web, and the TI hits the search engines and discovers this whole new world of disinformation. He's been indoctrinated into a cult, a gang stalking cult, a directed energy weapon cult. All of this is obviously part of the program as well. It wouldn't work nearly so well if TIs were all in the same area. Being physically present removes a lot of ambiguity. What I'm saying is that they do want group interaction, but it has to be ineffective or even counterproductive. The conference calls seem very promising to newly aware TIs, but the way most of these calls are structured, they end up becoming part of a psychological torture chamber. So, why not group together? Well, moving isn't really an option for most TIs, for lots of reasons. The biggest one is the natural concern. Are you jumping out of the frying pan into the fire? Most TIs who are aware of their TIs are on the financial edge. They really can't afford risks. You move into a new area and there are unknown quantities. One of the major unknown quantities is other TIs. It's hard to know them by their writings online or what they say in the calls. You really need to be able to see people in social settings over extended periods of time before you make a major commitment involving them. Some TIs, I wouldn't want to team up with them under any circumstances. Remember that woman a few months ago? I won't name her in this audio, but you'll know who I'm talking about, who went on a shooting spree? She was actually on the conference calls. You've got an unusually high risk of meeting up with very dangerous people when you network with other TIs. What if you meet the next Jared Lovner, and he decides you're a perp? There are some pretty hostile or aggressive people on the calls or on the web. I'm not necessarily holding it against them. It's not fair to judge people based on how they interact while they're being tortured, but I'm not eager to team up with them either. I've said before that if you're highly mobile, spontaneously forming a TI community could be pretty easy. Like if you have an RV or a mobile home. If you don't like your new neighbors, just take off. So anyway, TIs are scattered all over the place. This is intentional. In the best of all worlds, here's what you could get out of group interaction. With shared living arrangements, you could save resources, recover from the psychological trauma resulting from gang stalking, and force their hand on other tactics. You could pool resources for testing equipment or shielding. You could reverse engineer their tactics, and they definitely do not want that. So they don't really know how to psychologically torture entire groups of people who are interacting freely with each other, but they do know how to instigate infighting, and they do know how to neutralize the effectiveness of the group as a whole. That brings us to this idea that there are infiltrators in our midst. I'm just going to inject some reality here. Every single TI, without exception, is an asset or a pawn of the controlling agency, one way or another. There are many ways TIs can be made to serve that agency. There is, of course, the neurotechnology being used for the easily suggestible ones or the ones who don't realize that they're being made to act out without their knowledge. And you can be made to trigger each other. I've seen this happen a few times. I've seen it on the conference calls, on my website. I've been accused of triggering people. Maybe I was made to do that, or maybe they're overreacting. But from their perspective, especially the TIs who don't know about the neurotechnology, when they see someone say or write triggering information, they're going to be like, oh my God, they're in on it. But you know, mind control does not excuse abusive behavior. So whatever side you're on, whether you're accusing people of triggering you, or whether you're saying you can't be held accountable for what you say because of mind control, you just need to get a grip. Mind control is not a license to act like a jerk. Many of us make private, very lopsided, or even one-sided deals with our handlers. We do this because we think we're going to get some relief, or we're going to get something out of it. If the handlers are managing TIs as a group, which seems likely, all those secret deals that benefit them more than they benefit us, taken collectively, are tantamount to a conspiracy against the TIs as a group. They're moving people around and playing them off against each other. They've obviously built psychological profiles of us all. They know our weaknesses, and those are exploited. People with incompatible personalities or values are moved together to set off conflicts as necessary. People with other kinds of flaws are moved into place to undermine an entire organization. These people aren't necessarily infiltrators, but they have weaknesses that help with the goal of undermining the organization. They're moved around like pieces on a chessboard. Unfortunately, we'll never really know whether certain people are just really dense, or otherwise easily controlled, or have their own personality flaws, or are infiltrators. You have to judge people by what they're doing. How are they helping you? Not what they're saying they're going to do, because promises are meant to be broken. And you know, people can do a lot but also be ineffective or counterproductive at the same time. Like, let's say some rich guy enters the group and announces he's spending a lot of money putting together a sanctuary for TIs. He commits, let's say, $100,000 to this. And you're like, great. So what he does is buy some land and paves a road to it. He builds a pavilion in the middle of the land tract and puts a bathtub on the pavilion. All this is at his expense. And this land is in the middle of the Mojave Desert. He tells the group, now all you have to do is pipe some water in, and whenever a TI needs a bath, he can travel out to the middle of the Mojave Desert. Just throwing money around doesn't mean you're accomplishing anything. You might actually create commitments or liabilities for the rest of the group while not really helping anybody. People can pretend to be helping a group while actually looking out for their own personal interests. You have to be aware of these considerations, and you have to be able to talk about them diplomatically. In addition to all this, there is a survival effect. The most aware TIs or the most capable TIs tend to get weeded out, one way or another. Like I said, every TI is either a pawn or an asset. Once you're no longer any use to them, you get ejected from the group. So, for example, if you're spreading disinformation, if you make the rest of the group look bad by association, oh boy, they really love you. You are on the A train to Target Town. You're going to be on this program for the rest of your life. They love people who make targets look bad. And of course, the credentialed people who spread disinformation are the most valuable of all. Anyone with a doctor before their name, for example. The people who are counteracting the disinformation, who are helpful, can be weeded out. Their resources can be drained, for example. There are many ways this can be arranged. Realistically, what can we expect from group efforts, given all these considerations, all these tactics they use to undermine group efforts? The number one thing is the conference calls. The conference calls are only going to get better. You're going to see increasingly fast and accurate orientation for newcomers. The secret of organizing these calls is out. Everybody knows how to get on the talk shoe and set up their own conference call. And the calls are spreading virally. Anyone can see who's following a call and check out what other calls they're following. This is going to be happening with or without the help of a nonprofit organization. Historically, the justification for the leading nonprofit organization in this area has been the social networking. So the nonprofits need to improve their game. It can't just be about conference calls anymore. I personally am skeptical of nonprofits. They have incentives not to solve problems, as a general rule, but they do have their role. The nonprofits that are out there and taking TI's money, they're selling a product. Let's look at it this way. You're paying, say, $10 to $15 a year for your membership. That's about a dollar a month. It's like buying a lottery ticket every month. The lottery analogy is a good one because when you're buying a lottery ticket, you're buying hope. Just imagine what will happen when your dreams come true. It's a good analogy on another front. Lottery winners, and this has been shown time and time again, often don't know how to deal with their success. So, what do you want? What would happen if the nonprofits delivered on their promises? What would you do then? Do you know? These nonprofits, or group efforts, also have a way of delivering warm bodies to events like the Bioethics Commission hearing. That is valuable. There is value in testimony. One person says something, he can be written off as crazy. A group of people saying the same thing, it's harder to dismiss them. Remember the skepticism talk that I gave last week. My observations apply to the mass media as well. The CIA manufactures straw men for the media to report on, and those straw men are in our midst. But even so, their stories can be a strength, as they are a testament to the effectiveness of the brainwashing in the program. On the other hand, group efforts can be a waste of time. I've been called an activist. I don't really like being called an activist. I think that word has been tainted by association with people who call themselves activists, but they're really doing something else. I think these groups can be flypaper for people who don't understand the nature of covert operations, who don't understand how to grab the levers of power, yet they call themselves activists. Online petitions, for instance. I have to tell you, I don't want to live in a world where online petitions are effective. I don't want to live in a world where clicking a like button on a Facebook page affects meaningful change. I think others join these groups and get disgusted, thinking, wow, nobody really has a clue about how to accomplish anything, and drop out. The people who stay behind, maybe they actually believe in this stuff, like online petitions. That could be another aspect of the survival effect that helps neutralize the effectiveness of group efforts. Organization can be very hard. For starters, what are you trying to organize? Nobody can agree on what they're trying to accomplish. Group coordination is virtually impossible until the parameters of the problems are very well understood. Remember, a lot of what goes into targeting involves making sure the problems aren't understood. I mean, it's very easy to get a whole bunch of people to click on a button, or donate a little money to a specific organization, or to make a phone call, or to fill in the blanks on the form letter. but it's hard to do practically anything else. It's hard to coordinate group action unless the actions of individuals are very simple. Wrapping this up, I'd like to make the case for going it alone. That doesn't mean you can't continue sending money to whatever organization you think is going to help with this. You shouldn't refrain from going to events like the upcoming Bioethics Commission hearing, but you should be able to stand on your own. What can you do on your own? You can start looking for the truth. The truth is there. It's not going away. It's waiting for you to find it. What all this activity is designed to prevent is discovery and disclosure, suppressing the truth. Information is free to share, and it's never been easier. But of course, it's also never been easier to share disinformation. Remember what I've been saying about confirmation bias and other forms of disinformation. Your handlers are in a unique position to feed you disinformation, to confirm your biases, and you have to be aware of that. When a scrap of information, a document or news report, seems like it's offering you everything you want, that's when you have to be most alert. That's when you have to dig deep, do research, find out what's really being talked about. Don't just forward documents around the web because you like what they're saying. Don't overlook flaws. The person you can least afford to deceive is yourself. The search for the truth can be a unifying principle which transcends any nonprofit organization or other group of individuals. There's only one truth. It can link individuals together even when they're alone and not aware of each other. 95% of success is being there. The various organizations involved with targeting know this as well as I do. An organization has more staying power than any one person, so it's likely that when the finish line is crossed, one of those nonprofits is going to be right there with you. They'll try to take credit for the successes. You might just have to live with that. As an individual acting alone, do your best. Take responsibility for what you say or do. Don't hide minor contributions in the cloud of a group, and then wonder why the group of people, all of whom are doing very minor things just like you are, isn't accomplishing anything. Big, earth-shaking ideas, and the work that turns them into reality, that doesn't come from a committee, but from an individual. A person like you. If you're doing a great job, opportunities will materialize. A personal example, some people really liked what I was doing with my site, and a couple of them decided to put up billboards advertising it. I'm not working for them. I'm not their employees. But I'm cooperating with them because it's to our mutual advantage. We're solo players, each taking personal responsibility for our own work in this area. When we end up working together, it's not group coordination, which is a nebulous concept. It's more like a virtuous conspiracy.